Hi, and welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Some great guests lined up for today. Mr. Graves Burke will be here. Are you not really in control of your life? He's got a bunch of great suggestions, including how to get a second paycheck without a second boss. Yeah, it's all about multiple revenue streams, apparently. Dr. Arlen Diamond will be back with us. She is talking about significant changes in the law regarding sexual harassment training of your employees. If you have as few as 5 employees, you may need to take some action. So we'll talk about that ahead. Senator Ted Harvey will talk about all the political headlines of the day, including that now dropped Robert Mueller report. And that does lead our trending news for the day. President Trump says this is a good day for America. He started the day with a tweet reading, "No American conspired to cooperate with Russia in its efforts to interfere with the 2016 election, according to Robert Mueller." And that is good. Mueller released his long-awaited report Friday after 2 years of investigations. And listen to this, 2,800 subpoenas, 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, 500 search warrants, 230 orders from communication records, 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers, and Charlie Kirk is monitoring all this for us. And after interviewing about 500 witnesses, the conclusion, no collusion. Listen.
It was just announced there was no collusion with Russia. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration. It's a shame that our country had to go through this. To be honest, it's a shame that your president has had to go through this before I even got elected. It began. And it began illegally. And hopefully somebody's going to look at the other side. This was an illegal takedown that failed.
Talk more about that Mueller report ahead with Senator Ted Harvey. Also today, President Trump signed a proclamation stating that Israel has a sovereign right over the Golan Heights. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was with him at the White House Monday. President Trump says this recognition will help Israel with its defense and that it is a long time coming. Also, the relationship between the U.S. and Israel has never been stronger. Here are some of the remarks from the White House.
At this moment, the American Embassy stands proudly in Jerusalem, the capital the Jewish people have established, and they've wanted the embassy for many, many years, for many decades, and frankly, through many presidents. And we got it done. Not only did we get it done, we also got it built at a slight cost saving, like about $1 billion cost saving. And I want to thank Ambassador David Friedman for the job he's done, and Jason Greenblatt, and Jared, and everybody. They worked so hard together, so I want to thank you all. Thank you very much, Ambassador. You enjoying it? And you love Israel? Good. And America. I was waiting for him to say that. We have defeated the caliphate in Syria. We have withdrawn from the horrible Iran nuclear deal and imposed the toughest ever sanctions. And these are by far the toughest ever on the Iranian regime. It's having a big effect. Iran is not the same country that it was when I took office. The day I took office, we had threats all over the Middle East and beyond. Iran is a much different place right now than it was. As I said during my State of the Union address, we will not avert our eyes from the dictatorship that chants death to America, death to Israel, and calls for genocide.
If you've ever wanted to have a second paycheck and who doesn't, without a second boss. We may have the answers for you this hour here on America Trends. I'm Amy Fuller. Glad you are with us. We're going to have Senator Chet Harvey coming up. He is with the Committee to Defend the President, talking about the political headlines of the day and a few other things. But right now, it's all about multiple revenue streams. You know, a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, and they really, really don't have to if they just take a minute to figure out and map their life and what they really want. And we're here with Graves Burke this hour with Double Lift Media, Inc., who's got a lot of answers for us, apparently. You can find him at gravesburke.com or doubleliftmedia.com. Graves is a serial entrepreneur who built two separate million-dollar digital marketing enterprises. So, as a professional magician, right, he started his first business at the tender age of 17 and performed up and down the West Coast, taught other magicians. Now he's a business growth strategist and marketing and sales consultant for entrepreneurs and small business owners. So Graves, welcome. It sounds like you are living your best life for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Always.
So it sounds like a little bit of magic to doctor these multiple revenue streams, but once you get them, boy, they are really sweet because no extra bosses, right? In e-commerce, we are in this day and age where we can really do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things that's so important today is being able to live part of your passion in your life with what you do. So many people, well, at least my parents, they did what they had to do, not what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I grew up with a single mom, and she really always wanted to be in real estate. And she didn't know how to get into it, and she had a job, and that job provided her security, and she didn't know how to leave that. And so she never did. And, you know, she worked and she provided and very well. And when she retired, she was done, you know, and now she gets to live. She calls it the mailbox millions. You know, she just gets to be retired now.
Oh, don't we all want that? Yeah. So we're going to ask your secret here in a moment. But first, you got a second paycheck. Are you are a magician up and down the coast? And that's so fun even to hear about. But how can people really in this day and age, and I'm sure e-commerce is a big answer to this, but multiple revenue streams, and it sounds like a big word, but really it's just more than one paycheck a month and not living right. paycheck to paycheck. So how can people do that? Is it all e-commerce or are there other things? I know people drive Uber, drive mm-hmm. Lyft. I suppose there are a lot of ideas that maybe I don't even know about.
Yeah, there's three ways that I like to really go about it. The first one, Uber, Lyft, is the gig economy. And
the gig economy.
The gig economy.
Graves, what do you mean by the gig economy?
So the gig economy is Uber, is Lyft, is DoorDash, is Instacart.
And why do we call it the gig economy?
Because people can work individual gigs. And they can work when they want to work, and they can work where they want to work, and they can work in their hours and their time frame. Mm-hmm. They are basically their own boss if
they're
they don't
their second
work.
Boss or, yes. or first even if they don't need just
right.
that many.
Right. There's a lot of people that I've bumped into riding Uber that are retired that just want to meet people and have a good time and bring in some revenue, and they use Uber and Lyft. Oh. You know, so gig economy is really good. There's 57 million Americans, U.S. workers in the gig economy, according to Forbes article I read last year.
How many again?
57 million.
57 million. Mm-hmm. These are pretty good times to live in if we want to be our own bosses.
Absolutely. It's probably not much better because of the internet and because of smartphones and apps and the accessibility.
Yeah, for sure. So according to the 2014 Brookings Institute paper, a third of U.S. households, that's 38 million, mm-hmm. do live paycheck to paycheck.
38 million live paycheck to paycheck.
But you're here to tell us it doesn't have to be that way.
Correct.
But Brooks, I'm going to tell you right now that so many people, they're at their jobs. They barely have time to listen to this show, let alone plan and make a roadmap for their future. So how can we possibly do that?
I think the most important thing, it depends if you want to go gig economy. If you want to go gig economy, mm-hmm. sign up for the apps, give it a shot, try it out, be patient about it. And we'll circle back to patience and being successful. Mm-hmm. The other thing you can do is what I call the hustle method. And maybe you really like being out on the weekends and you have the weekends. And the hustle method is about finding things that you can flip. And so there's always garage sales and estate sales, and there's listings on Craigslist where people are just trying to give stuff away for free that you can take and you can make clean it up. You can take really good pictures of it, and you can list it. And you can list it on sites like eBay or Craigslist, or Facebook has a marketplace that you can sell stuff on. And that's a really good way to also bring in extra revenue if the gig economy doesn't sound like your thing.
So there really, really are a lot of platforms. Etsy, eBay for one. And I've got a small business. People know I've talked about it. I've got a hat and a jewelry line.
Wonderful.
And it's fun. And as much as you want to market it, that's as much as you can make. But if someone's not, say, an artist, or they just want to, you know, flip things, like going, there are a lot of people on eBay, Etsy, and beyond that grab things from secondhand stores,
yes,
market them, and you couldn't do this in the past. You can get way better, you can get better dollars from it, because everyone all over the world can see it once you post it on eBay. So what do you recommend in that realm?
In that realm, in terms of products, cell phones are really big. Cell phones are huge. You can flip cell phones, because a lot of times people will break their cell phone and they don't want to have to go sign a new 2-year contract with a carrier.
Yeah.
So they turn to Craigslist or they turn to Facebook Marketplace looking for a new cell phone that's free of a contract. And so if you can go find a cell phone, clean it up, maybe change the battery out on it for $25, $30, you might be able to sell it for $100, $200.
That's so interesting. And you also say that if you want to lead a full-time business, if you want to transition at some point, you can package your expertise and knowledge and create your own educational product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have probably our specialties and things that we could teach people that no one else can.
Yeah.
But what exactly do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is we all have knowledge of either products or movies or music, or we have knowledge that we've studied. Like for me, I started studying magic when I was 5. You know, I didn't become professional until I was 17. So that was 12 years of studying. Every time I'd go home from school, I wouldn't practice a musical instrument. I'd play with a deck of cards. And so I had all of that knowledge. What I did, to give an example, and I think other people can do this as well, is you package up your knowledge and you can put it on sites like YouTube. You can put it on sites like Vimeo or Facebook Live or Instagram. And I put some very simple beginner magic tricks on YouTube back in the day. And they've racked up subscriber base of 65,800 subscribers or something like that, and over 23 million views.
So you can really put yourself out there, and if people like it, and they will follow you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you're at gravesburke.com, and can we follow you on social media too to get some more ideas about how to make these second revenue streams and not have a second boss?
Yeah, Facebook is The Graves Burke. So, yeah.
The Graves Burke on Facebook. And then also you're on Instagram at The Graves Burke again.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We can't thank you enough for coming in. And you could follow me. He's in Southern California, but find him online all the time, as we said, at gravesburke.com or Double Lift Media. Graves, thank you so much and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
We're back after this. The Mueller report is out. You may have heard it's trending like crazy. And also, President Trump recognizing Golan Heights as part of Israel. And he had a big ordeal at the White House with Benjamin Netanyahu today. We'll have we'll talk about that with Senator Ted Harvey coming up. But first, if you are an employer, if you have a workplace, there are some new changes that are happening regarding sexual harassment training, where if you have even 5 employees, there are some changes that may need to be made right now. We have our friend of the show, Dr. Arlen Diamond of Diamond Associates, and she follows all this and workplace processes, and she's the president and founder of DiamondAssociates.net. She's recognized all over the world, and these changes are significant. And Dr. Diamond, welcome back to America Trends.
Oh, thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you. So as of 2019, I believe, if you have even 5 employees, there may need to be some changes made in the way that you educate your employees.
Yeah, it's actually as of 2020, if you have 5 or more employees.
2020, okay.
Yeah,
so we have a minute to figure it out then, 2020.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, between now and then, you should get launched. But they have to have 2 hours of training. Supervisors need to be trained. And there needs to be various things posted. You have to have in the policy manual and posted where it's visible to people. Those are the kind of things. But the most significant change is 5 or more employees. And frankly, Amy, I'm glad about that. I mean, I hate that it's a regulation and that we're being forced to do it. But I've been saying all along that it only takes two people to cause a problem. So I'm advising even the smallest of business people to do training.
So as of January 2020, it's about, if you have 50 or more employees, there's a certain threshold of training you must do before that. But as of January 2020, if you have even as few as five, exactly, you need to get ready. So that's the big change, right? How long has that been?
That's brand new. It just happened recently.
But how long has it been? I don't know. The sexual harassment laws have been in for several years. But that is a big change, because 50 employees compared to five, that's a very different increment.
It's a huge change. And again, it's thanks to the Me Too movement that they're forcing people to take notice and to actually do something about it. I just recently was on, I spent a couple of months on a task force looking at that issue as it pertains to schools, and both faculty, obviously, but mostly school children, that there's bullying, there's harassment, and it has to stop. Is the pendulum swinging a little too far right now? Yes, of course it is.
Well, and that's in light of the hashtag MeToo movement, which, you know, it's so sad, Dr. Diamond, that you get these big news stories and they're these breathless news anchors talk about it for a few days and then it all sort of goes away. But it doesn't go away for the people who've been affected. So, you know, as you say in your notes, it takes only two people. But so you're glad that if there are as few as five, that employers need to take notice. What should they be doing now? We're in March of 2019 and they have to be ready by January 2020. How should they be preparing, and what is the what's the threshold in January 2020? Is that a new place where, don't touch your shoulder, buddy. Is there a new threshold where they'll be checked on, or people have more ability to sue them? Or what does this all look like?
Well, so to answer the first part of your question, I would say start training now, because the Me Too movement and the TV coverage and the news coverage is so powerful right now that minor infractions are going to be reported as major problems. And employers are really vulnerable to being sued for the behavior of their employees. And so train, seriously, even though you may not legally be required to, take the time to do it. I think it's really, I don't have it in front of me. I thought we were going to be talking about something else. So I didn't have the in front of me.
Wait, what did you think we were going to talk about? Because we'll talk about that too, Doc.
My latest newsletter is talking about how to get ahead professionally.
We can talk about that too.
I thought we were talking about that. But in any event, to finish this one, get a copy of the latest law, because there are posters that are required and policy manual changes that are required. But the most important piece is you've got to create a safe environment. And, you know, if you wait until January, you may be embroiled in a huge lawsuit between now and then.
Nobody wants that. They're just a mess for everybody. So you do say, if at all possible, have face-to-face training. And that's because you feel they're highly interactive with lots of group discussion, role-playing, and people can really understand the issues and not wanting to hurt others. And they all start to behave more courteously and professionally. And that can have nothing to do with sexual harassment. That can just be with, you know, good behavior. And then also you talk about on-demand courses. And you have a few different training programs. So you can find her at, is it diamondassociates.net, Dr. Diamond?
Yes, it's diamondassociates.net. And on my newsletters, which get posted to my website, hoping my webmaster does that, there's a list of all the courses. The main company that I'm doing them for, what I've done on the newsletter, is list that company and the 20-some-odd courses, including what we're talking about, that I've done for them. But I also do similar courses for a number of other webinar providers. So if you have to do online training, by all means, do it. It's better than nothing. But if there's any way that you can actually do face-to-face, it's such a profound difference. Mm-hmm. Because face-to-face, people actually talk to each other about why what one person may have intended as teasing is offensive or hurtful to another person. We learn that certain words will hurt certain ethnic groups, although we had never thought about those words as being harmful. We do things from our childhood. We do things automatically. I was, this goes back a number of years ago, but I was working in a company that had a warehouse, and the guys were talking about, I'm going to use a very pejorative word here, kiking them down, which I'm Jewish, and that's a very pejorative word for the Jewish community. But these guys were the nicest guys in the world. I pointed it out to them. They said, oops, we had no idea. It was just a phrase we had grown up with. And it, to the best of my knowledge, they never used that word again. So sometimes just talking it through makes a profound difference. You know, there was this company that I was consulting to, a fire department, where the issue was the hats that had been purchased for the firefighters. And the name of the company, I'm not going to say the name of the company, but the name of the company, which was a hero to us, was the enemy to Mexican people.
Oh, we lost Dr. Diamond. But you know what? She is talking about significant changes in the laws regarding sexual harassment training of your employees. It is coming up in January of 2020. Before, you didn't have to really worry about this, about training and being sued, to be quite frank, unless you had 50 employees or more. As of January 2020, that will go down to 5 employees. So you need to start thinking about it now, perhaps training, but in fact putting things installed in January. And you can, what you want to do is you want to talk to Dr. Diamond to get some background information on this. She is the expert. She's known all over the world. DiamondAssociates.net. And we lost her there, but we got mainly to the point of Dr. Arlen Diamond. We'll see her back soon. And we are up next with Ted Harvey talking about the political headlines of the day, including that Mueller report. Stay with America Trends. At long, long last, the Mueller probe is over? Who could think? The reports have been turned in. AG Barr has looked at them. President Trump says this is a good day for America. Let's look at the numbers quickly, shall we? We have a little still here. 2,800 subpoenas, 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, 500 search warrants, 230 orders from communications records, 50 orders authorizing use of pen registrations, and 500 witnesses. And after all of these 2 years of investigations, the conclusion: no collusion. It's a beautiful thing. It almost rhymes. We're back here with Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President. And boy, has he done his job over the past couple years while this was all going on. Senator Harvey, this came down Friday, and the liberal media had a fit. We had news anchors on the air crying, and then while trying to do some, I don't know, maybe it was Common Core math, trying to figure out how there could be collusion if the report said there was no collusion after all this 2 years. So, Senator Harvey, what's your weekend been like? What did you think when this came down Friday?
Well, I think it's a great day for America. We can finally get this behind us. I agree with the president that this has been a witch hunt that has been put in place by the FBI and the CIA and the mainstream media that has been doing everything they possibly can to bring down this president since he came down the escalator in Trump Towers when he started the campaign. I think what we will see is this this conspiracy to collude with the Obama administration, collude with the FBI and the CIA and foreign agents actually did start in 2015. One thing that you didn't, some of the statistics that you didn't mention when you were just rolling out the stats of all of the interviews and everything, you didn't mention how many leaks there were from inside the Obama administration, how many leaks there were from the FBI and the Justice Department. Specifically, Comey, when he testified under oath and said that the reason why he leaked the information through a friend to the press was for this very reason, to put in place a special counsel. And then you didn't mention the 533,000 articles that have been written about Obama, about the collusion narrative that the Democrats have been running with, nor did you talk about the 2,282 minutes that the cable news networks have been running with this conspiracy, literally a conspiracy to try to bring down the president of the United States. What we saw take place over the last 2 years was ridiculous, and I hope that if you watch the Senator Lindsey Graham interview, that he will be holding people accountable through Senate Justice Committee hearings. But I hope that the president holds people accountable also, because what happened, as the president said, should never happen to another president ever again.
That's very true. And you almost hate to make a blanket statement like that, because people can do bad things. You don't know what's going to happen in the future, but this has been nuts. So Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, what do you think is going to happen next? Do you think he'll actually take any action against, well, anybody at all?
Well, I think he will. And I think that he will be bringing forward people to put them under oath and subpoenaing people and making them explain why the FISA application situation was handled the way that it was, that they were using the Steele dossier that was built off of opposition research that was done by Agent Orr's wife that was working for Fusion GPS. How is it that the number four person in the FBI could have his wife working for, being paid for by the Democrat National Committee and by the Hillary Clinton campaign, putting together, helping to put together the dossier, then give her thumb drive to her husband, who is the number four person in the FBI, so that they can give that to the FBI to start this whole narrative moving forward? If people aren't going to jail for that kind of crap, I don't know what they would be, because that is why we have the FBI, that is supposedly a nonpartisan investigatory organization, to be doing these kind of investigations without any influence from their political perspectives. But what we saw was the FBI and the Obama Justice Department doing everything they could to undermine the candidacy of Trump, but also to bring down his presidency once he got into office.
So those parties you just named, which, by the way, there's that classic meme of Hillary going around saying, "You mean I really lost for real on my own merits?" Who is culpable for this? Can anybody be held responsible? Or are we just going to be allowed to spend this many millions and this many years investigating something that was just, as you say, a bunch of crap?
There is no better definition than that word for what happened. I hope that people are held accountable. I hope that Jim Comey is held accountable. He did lie under oath, and he did leak information to the press. Strzok pretty much put out in his emails back and forth with Lisa Page that they were leaking information to the press. That is against the law for our national intelligence agencies to be leaking information to the press. Yet the top people in the FBI were doing just that. They need to be held accountable, not just fired, but they need to be held accountable and put in jail for what they did to try to bring down this president.
So when so the announcement came down Friday, Mueller's done, which who can believe it? We thought maybe it'd be going until, you know, little Barron Trump was president in 2040. Who the heck knows? But it happened Friday, and then on Saturday they said, well, will Attorney General Barr release some of the highlights of it? No. Then finally he did on Sunday. What stood out to you? Did anything surprise you or no?
You bet. A lot surprised me. Most importantly, the fact that 13 attorneys that were incredibly biased towards the president of the United States, who had worked for the Clinton Foundation, who had donated to the Clinton campaign, who had been part of the Hillary Clinton investigation and absolved that, meaning Peter Strzok and was part of the investigation, that all of these attorneys spent 2 years doing all of this investigation, interviewed 500 people, had all of these subpoenas. They spent 2 years and $40 million investigating the president in the most partisan witch hunt that you can imagine, and still came up empty-handed. That's what surprises me. I think that everybody on the Democrat side and everybody in the media thought that they had the game rigged by having these partisan attorneys on Mueller's investigative team. And if they couldn't come up with anything after 2 years, I assure you there was nothing there. Otherwise, they would have brought it forward.
And try how they tried. Senator, did you see Rachel Maddow on, I guess she's MSNBC, crying? And then everyone was talking about the mainstream media. They look like they're having a wake in light of this news.
Well, I do believe that there is legitimacy to the term Trump derangement syndrome, because
sure.
Rachel Maddow and her entire cabal in the mainstream media have been doing everything they could to run with this narrative of a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian government, that Trump was a Russian agent. I mean, Rachel Maddow has said that numerous times on her show. Everybody that has been listening to her and following her have bought into that and believe that. And now that this very partisan investigation comes out that there is no collusion, all of these people are going to start manifesting right before our very eyes, like Rachel Maddow did. And I can't believe their heads aren't going to explode with true Trump derangement syndrome on full.
And then there's the meme of them saying, well, Mueller must be a Russian. We're back with Senator Harvey after this. The Mueller report came down Friday and said that there is no evidence of collusion between President Trump and Russia. Anyone else? Who knows? Will they investigate them? We're here with Senator Ted Harvey, former state senator from Colorado, now head of the Committee to Defend the President. You know, Senator Ted, a lot of people are saying now, well, why don't they investigate Hillary and all these other people? And all the people who came at Trump just because they didn't like the fact that he was elected. Could any of that really happen, or is it just a pipe dream?
Well, I think that Senator Graham did say that he was going to go into that investigation, and I hope that
right.
he does. The fact that the FBI completely whitewashed the entire investigation and tried to push it under the rug and do nothing, they didn't put her under oath. They had her own witnesses there with her in the room. The whole investigation was a sham. So we need to do everything we can to move forward with that investigation and find out exactly why the FBI was so biased in that investigation.
So over the past 3 days, all the mainstream media have been I don't know if they were trying to do common core math to try to figure out, well, how could there be no collusion if there probably was collusion? They can't accept what has been found after these 2 years and how much money, Senator Ted. But there was the theme that said that doesn't prove there wasn't any obstruction, but we couldn't find any collusion. So they are grabbing on to that. Does that mean anything at all?
Well, I think that's all that they have. They've set this narrative up for so many months, and their supporters have run with this for so long that that's all that they have. And I think that they are going to do the investigation. They're going to run with it, and that they are. It's going to cause harm to their side moving into the 2020 elections.
Okay, final words from Ted Harvey, senator from Colorado, former state senator, now head of the Committee to Defend the President, a great super PAC that is having his back amid all the things he's been facing over the past few years. You can go there and support the cause if you like. Meanwhile, today, President Trump, as we told you, did sign a proclamation stating that Israel has a sovereign right to the Golan Heights. Always a big struggle. Benjamin Netanyahu was with him at the White House today. President Trump says this recognition will help Israel with their defense, and that it has been a long time coming, and that the relationship between the U.S. and Israel has never been stronger. Here are some remarks now, some more of them from him and Netanyahu.
We have withdrawn from the horrible Iran nuclear deal and imposed the toughest ever sanctions. And these are by far the toughest ever on the Iranian regime. It's having a big effect. Iran is not the same country that it was when I took office. The day I took office, we had threats all over the Middle East and beyond. Iran is a much different place right now than it was. As I said during my State of the Union address, we will not avert our eyes from the dictatorship that chants death to America, death to Israel, and calls for genocide against the Jewish people. We won't let them even consider that. We will confront the poison of anti-Semitism through both our words and, maybe even more importantly, our actions. In the last century, humanity witnessed the horrific consequences of anti-Semitism and a world without a Jewish homeland. In the wake of those unthinkable horrors, the Jewish people built a mighty nation in the Holy Land, something very, very powerful, something very special and important. Today, Israel demonstrates that incredible possibilities when strong, sovereign, and independent nations chart their own destinies. There can be no better example of greatness than what Israel has done, starting from such a small speck of sand. Israel is an inspiration, a trusted ally, and a cherished friend. The United States will always stand by its side. I'd like to now invite Prime Minister Netanyahu to say a few words. And Bibi and I have known each other for a long time. He's another one who truly, truly loves Israel. I think I can say he also loves the United States. So before I sign the presidential proclamation recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights, I'd like to ask Prime Minister Netanyahu to say a few words. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. President, our dear friend, Donald, you have shown consistently incredible support for Israel, for our right to self-defense. When we exercise that self-defense, you have never flinched. You've always been there, including today, and I thank you. Yesterday, a rocket was fired from Gaza, deep inside Israel. It hit a home north of Tel Aviv. It wounded seven, including two small children. And miraculously, no one was hurt. No one was killed. Israel will not tolerate this. I will not tolerate this. And as we speak, as I told you, Mr. President, just now, Israel is responding forcefully to this wanton aggression. I have a simple message to Israel's enemies. We will do whatever we must do to defend our people and defend our state. After this meeting, I will return home ahead of schedule to lead the people of Israel and the soldiers of Israel. But before I go, Mr. President, it was so kind of you to invite me to come here. It was so important for me to come here to the White House and to thank you. Mr. President, over the years, Israel has been blessed to have many friends who sat in the Oval Office. But Israel has never had a better friend than you. You show this time and again. You show this when you withdrew from the disastrous nuclear deal with Iran. I remember in one of our first meetings, you said, "This is a horrible deal. I will leave it." You said it, you did it. You showed it when you restored sanctions against a genocidal regime that seeks to destroy the one and only Jewish state. You said, "I will restore those sanctions." You said it, and you did it. You showed that when you recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and moved the American embassy there and gave us a tremendous ambassador. You said it, you did it. And you've showed it once again today, Mr. President, with your official proclamation recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, this is truly a historic day.
I want to thank you for being with us for the Hour for America Trends. Find more of us on U2America.com and click through and see us on social media as well. Thank you to our guest, Mr. Graves Burke was here talking about how to get a second revenue stream without a second boss, how to orchestrate your life in a way that, as the kids say, you can live your best life. Dr. Arlen Diamond with DiamondAssociates.net talking about how employers, even if you have as few as 5 employees, need to make sure you're up to date on the latest sexual harassment laws and do all the seminars and things like that. By January of 2020, she says you might want to start early. Senator Ted Harvey of the Committee to Defend the President talking about that Mueller report, what it means and what happens next. Finally tonight, one of our favorite bits from Conan O'Brien as he tries to teach some time management to one of his favorite producers, well, that he loves to hate, Jordan Schlansky. Take a look.
It's 12:50. It's come to my attention that you like to drift in late on Fridays.
Okay. Well, I work later on Fridays than a lot of people. And I feel like I'm able to adequately accomplish what I need to in the time that I'm here. I've prepared my daily task ahead of me already.
Your daily task? What's your daily task? To pour olive oil into a Kaiser roll? Is that your daily task? Let me ask you, Jordan, what you were doing this morning.
Well, I woke up, immediately had a protein shake. I've been experimenting with oats and whey.
Experimenting with oats and whey?
Well, I was trying to avoid synthetic maltodextrin, which is derived from corn, and I had read that oats is a good source of complex carbohydrates when mixed with whey.
Can I ask you a quick question? Are you wearing your sunglasses while you're making the shake?
Would you like me to remove them?
What do you think would be the human thing? You studied humans on our planet for a while.
To remove them, if it makes you more comfortable.
Okay. You got up, you had your whey and oat shake, then what?
Then I prepared my body in various ways. I cleaned it, shaved it, and got
dressed.
What do you
mean? Okay, I want to make it very clear to everyone at home. This is really happening. This is completely real. This isn't scripted. He just said all those things. This is a real person. I'm sick of people asking me, how did you find that guy who writes his stuff? You just said that. You just said, I prepare my body in various ways. Did you say you shaved it?
I did shave it.
Remove your shirt. Please, if you don't mind. So this is freshly shaved, this area?
No, I didn't say I shaved my chest. I didn't say I shaved my entire body.
What part of your body did you shave?
My face.
Oh, just your face? Oh, you shaved down below, down south?
I believe that's a private matter.
You just took your shirt off.
You're asking me.
I just asked you if you shave your John Dory, do you?
That's a problem matter.
You draw the line there?
In terms of talking about my daily grooming rituals?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, you can put your shirt back
Thank
on.
You.
Wait a minute. Put the sunglasses on, but leave the shirt off. Can I ask you why you have this instead of just a regular packet of pepper?
That's a pepper mill.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like this before. Why is it so small?
It allows me to use fresh pepper on the food that I eat without taking up an inordinate amount of desk space.
Right, because you wouldn't want to clutter your space. Why do you have these?
They were sent to me.
By who?
By a woman that I know.
A woman sent you these?
Correct.
The very definition of having this is proof that you don't know a woman. You're not making eye contact with me.
Why would I?
Is your intention to hang on to these or to give them to a worthy children's charity?
Undecided.
I'd like to help you be on time from now on. I think that would be good for you. So we have some devices that might help. Would this be helpful to you, this clock?
I don't see how.
You could have this at home and it would tell you what time it is. And then you would know I should probably get to work.
My lack of awareness of the time is not responsible for the hour that I arrive in the office.